They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.
Coming to get you, Barbara.
Welcome to the Coming to Get You. My name is Brent Terhune.
My name is Gavin Eddings. And welcome to a between-season bonus episode because, well, the date just happened to line up that it's July 3rd, Brent. It's 4th of July weekend.
It's, it's July 3rd, and I always try to, like, post the screenshot of what we're talking about today, which is Return of the Living Dead.
Yes. This is really a cult classic horror movie. Mm-hmm. This is one that I did not watch for the first time until a few years ago, actually. I'd heard a lot of buzz about it, and that's mainly because I went to a Comic-Con, or like a little small, there was a Indiana Toy and Comic Expo. It's a little show in Bloomington that happens every year. Have you ever been to it?
No, I've always wanted to, but I'm always working as a professional comedian.
And I've got time to fuck around.
Some weekends I'm like, man, I wish I was doing that, not doing this. But The Indiana little toy show. I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, I can't remember the dude who runs it, but he's a super solid dude. And they had a Funko Pop competition where, like, you made a custom Funko Pop. And my friend entered it, and the one that actually won was somebody did a Tarman Funko Pop.
Okay.
And I was like, well, what's this Tarman we're talking about here? Is this, like, like a tobacco spokesman? Like, who is Tarman? Smoke them up, kids. And then I found out Return of the Living Dead. I found the first movie, and I watched it, and I was like, this is really fun. It's a really fun horror comedy that actually is very, very funny.
It's fun. It's funny. And I'll say this throughout the whole episode. This is a put on at a party movie.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Yeah. It's a very fun background type movie. It doesn't take itself too seriously. The cast has amazing chemistry throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a fun one. Have you seen any of the sequels to it?
I've seen two. I own two. I download. If you have my Vudu password, it's streaming on Vudu right now. And I think I've started three, and I didn't finish it. So that tells you everything you need to know about it.
I think there's five of them.
I saw half of the third one.
I think I saw, like, up to five. There's Return of the Living Dead 2, Return of the Living Dead 3. Then there's, I wish they would just go in order on IMDb. Don't say more like this and then show me Creepshow. Like, I know Creepshow, but I think they made a couple in, like, the mid-2000s as well that are not very well received.
Well, can I tell you about the first time I saw this movie?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I really got, that's...
Can I finish? I saw this during, like, that zombie boom. It was post 9/11, where it was like, most things are post 9/11 anymore, but, you remember 9/11?
Do you guys remember? Do you remember this? You guys remember?
Have you seen this? You heard about this? It was like around the time of like the Dawn of the Dead remake, 28 Days Later. And then it was like my friend Nate and I, who I'm still friends with, we were very much into zombie movies. Mm-hmm. So we'd see these in the theater and then we'd go and try to watch the rest of the zombie movies. You'd go to like FYE or whatever those like stores in the mall.
Suncoast, Tower Records.
Yeah, all those. And this came on one night. I'm watching TV with my brother. Thanks for bringing him up. This also just has like a special place because I saw the first time I saw it was with my brother and we didn't know that it was a comedy. And we didn't know what the title was of. It was back before even you turn it. Now you turn the TV on and it says at the bottom, Return of the Living Dead. And it has all the info. Back in the day, it was just, this is the movie.
Back in my day, I had to wait for the TV Guide channel to scroll
through. I don't even
think
we had that because I would have looked at it. But, we saw it was a zombie movie. And we didn't, it wasn't like... It wasn't stated that it was a zombie comedy. It was just a zombie movie. And we thought it was the most ridiculous shit we had ever seen because there's just certain things in this movie that made us laugh so hard. And for years, you had that movie, you were like, you're trying to tell people, you're like, there's a part in it when the guy's like, send more paramedics. Like, and then eventually you find out what it is. But this was that movie for a long time for me. Of I thought it was such a great movie, and I just didn't know what it was.
It's a really funny one, and there was a huge zombie boom in the mid-2000s where you had, like you said, 28 Days Later. You had the Dawn of the Dead remake, and you really wanted to track down, like, every zombie movie. And you could watch, like, Dawn of the Dead or Day of the Dead, or even in 2005, like, Land of the Dead came out with our good convention friend Big Daddy,
shout out to Big Daddy,
who will yell at you if you stand in front of his table and don't buy anything.
Well, he's in full gimmick. I can appreciate that.
He keeps kayfabe. He keeps.
Shaun of the Dead was another one that came out.
Yeah,
Land of the Dead. There was just like a zombie boom.
Yeah,
don't you like? And maybe that's when the Walking Dead started.
Walking Dead started in like 2010, so a few years removed. But yeah, there was a huge zombie boom for like 10 years.
Zombieland
was huge in 2009,
mm-hmm.
and then just tracking these down, and then being like, oh. Return of the Living Dead, you always think that it's like, is it involved with Night of the Living Dead?
Resident Evil, by the way. Sorry, that was another one.
Resident Evil, yeah. Resident Evil had like a bunch during that time period, and those games were coming out a bunch too. And so you have Return of the Living Dead, and you hear the name, and you're like, well, is it one of the Romero movies? Or what is this? And it has some of the best cover art. You've got like, it's very punk rock. It's zombie. Yeah. It's a zombie punk rock comedy, and it knows what it is, and it executes that to absolute brilliance. From the minute the movie starts, and you've got the two characters going, Bert and Freddy just going back and forth, talking about like what's going on with like how to like send the bodies or whatever. You're like, this is funny. The cast has chemistry, and it feels like real people talking.
Yeah. And it's Freddie and Frank and Dan O'Bannon who wrote and directed the movie actually wrote Frank for him.
Mm.
He was going to be Frank, and then he saw James Caron, who plays Frank, audition, and he said, this guy's much better suited.
Yes.
And better chemistry with Tom Matthews. This is a horror comedy. And I'd have to rewatch it based on the premise that I'm about to say, but there are no real jokes in this movie. There's nothing set up for a laugh. It's all played serious, and that's why it's funny.
Yeah. Because
they do outlandish shit, but they do it in such a serious way. Because like with Shaun of the Dead, there are clear jokes.
Yes.
Which is a fun too.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, it's like some of my videos, I say ridiculous shit, but in such a serious tone that you can't help but think it's crazy, you know?
I've never watched any of your videos, so I can't really say anything about it.
You're not missing much.
I don't watch comedy.
No, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't call it comedy. It's kind of serious. The true me.
This is the character of you. What you're saying in those videos is the real you. But it is a very fun movie, and it is very punk rock. It also has a very distinct through line to the Friday the 13th series, where there's a huge crossover where I'm watching this, I'm like, that person was in Friday the 13th. Wait, this person was in Friday the 13th. This person was also in Friday the 13th. And you have some of the characters in this who were in the same Friday the 13th movie the same year that this came out.
Yep. We've got Miguel Nunez, who won me and my brother over when we saw this movie, because just everything he says is funny because he delivers such with seriousness.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Suicide, who is the guy's like, don't you show some fucking respect for the dead? The guy, he's got the piercing and stuff. He's driving the car.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually the guy in Friday 5 that chops up the kid eating the candy bar.
Yeah. And Miguel Nunez Jr., who plays Spider in this, plays Demon in Friday 5. We're like, oh, those damn enchiladas.
I want to watch Friday 5 so much.
We need to.
And then we have Tom Matthews, who was Tommy Jarvis and was it 6?
Yeah, he was Jason Lives Friday the 13th Part 6. And then doesn't he reprise a role in like the Never Hike Alone series?
Oh, well, that's a spoiler at the end of it, but yeah. So there you go. Never Hike Alone, we should maybe cover that sometime too.
I've never
as
seen
a fan
those.
Film and,
mm-hmm.
better than some of the franchise entries. I had Vincent DeSanti on the field trip. He talked about it when he was doing the Kickstarter for the new one coming out.
Nice, fantastic. Mm-hmm. But this is just a very fun movie. You've got basically the premise is you've got the character played by Tom Matthews of Freddy, who is working at a medical supply warehouse.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, you know, just one of those jobs that people in movies only seem to have. And, like, I look around, and immediately I'm taking notes on this because it is so over the top and just so ridiculous where you've got Frank saying things like, choppers in your puss. And
yeah,
he's trying to find skeletons that have, like, perfect teeth. He's like, mm-hmm. You got the choppers in your puss. And you're like, I love the way everybody talks in this.
Yeah, when somebody calls it not when they're not talking about a vagina, but they say puss.
Yeah, there is one line in the movie, in the horror movie, you may have heard of it. It's called Grease, where at the very end at the carnival, they're like, give him a pie in the puss. And I was like, what did he say? Is that a thing you can just call it around saying? But apparently a puss is your face.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you said give a cream pie in the puss, that's still not what you think it is.
Or is it? I mean, there's,
or is it?
There's no wrong way to cream pie a puss.
You better shape up, because I'm telling you.
You got to cream pie my puss.
Oh, highbrow comedy.
Highbrow comedy.
I was timing this too, by the way. Within 10 minutes, we know the premise of this movie.
Yes.
The barrel's going to break, and then there's going to be zombies. They've set it up within 10 minutes of this movie starting.
Yeah.
And it's not a very deep premise, but you don't need it. You just need the shit to happen so the chaos can ensue.
Yeah, and it's very funny because you've got Frank showing Freddy around. He's like, this right here, you know that movie, Night of the Living Dead? It was real. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, what it is? He's like, based on a true story, they ship the bodies here. He's like, what? I'll show you. And then that's where the tar man is. He's in this barrel, and he's like, no, this is fine military-grade steel. And he smacks the barrel, and then all the gas comes out.
Yep, and that's how we get they become sick. And this movie is tied into Night of the Living Dead, because after that movie came out, we have George Romero and John Russo, who I think they both co-wrote that movie, they kind of parted ways. So George Romero got the rights to Of the Dead. So you've got Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
Land of the Dead. And John Russo got
Of the Living Dead? What?
Of the Living Dead. Yeah, so that's how we got the split, he was able to tie into Night of the Living Dead.
Okay, see, I didn't realize John Russo was a writer on this. That is something very interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah, he's got a story by credit along with Rudy Ricci and Russell Striner, and then Dan O'Bannon was brought in, and he wrote also one of your favorite movies, Alien.
Oh, fantastic. I do love it. We need to cover one of the Alien franchise. I'm surprised we haven't yet. But yeah. I was very curious how they could use the phrase of the living dead on this, because I was like, surely that's got to be copywritten or something. But that makes sense that when they split, they kind of split up the titling rights as well.
Yeah, one guy gets this and the other gets that.
Very amicable. And it also explains why there's no like Dawn of the Living Dead or Day of the Living Dead.
Yeah, even though you get sequels of like Dawn of the Dead 2, and you find out it has nothing to do with Romero or anybody else. And you're like, did he do what? And then you watch it and you're like, oh, I see why.
There's a lot of these of the dead movies that because of that zombie boom, because everybody's just like making them and like trying to tie them. Because I think there's like a Day of the Dead 2 that has like Ving Rhames in it. And I think like Mina Savari, I think, is in it. I'm sure Tara Reid's in one of these or something.
She's hot.
She, you know what? I'll be honest. Tara Reid could get it back in the day. Like, she was one of those ones that I remember like scouring the E channel for, like back in.
In between Howard Stern having a girl sit on a speaker and him make really loud noises while it vibrates, whatever.
Whenever, so this, again, I don't want to. This is a filthy podcast for adults, but there's one like Howard Stern clips got me through my internetless years.
Oh wow, look at her go! Sitting like on a vibrating saddle, like that was this. How can they show this on TV?
Yeah. You know? I remember one time they put like bologna on a woman's boobs, and you don't have to censor bologna on boobs. And I was like, this will get me there.
The bologna boobs.
And now I'm now in the grocery store. I can't go near the bologna without getting a little tingle. Can't. A
lot of red tape.
What a perfectly set up bologna ring joke. That we hey. Did. Look at that.
I'm glad we were able to work that in, because that was definitely pre-planned.
But again, there are a lot of the Dead movies. I think there was like Diary of the Dead, which was like a found footage one when they tried.
I think that was a Romero one, though.
Yeah, but that was like, I never saw later that. Romero. I never saw that. I didn't that. Either. But maybe we should revisit some of those, like lesser of the Dead movies.
We should get Big Daddy on the show from Land of the Dead.
He'll do it. I guarantee you he'll do it. He'll do it in full gimmick. He'll be like, ugh. He'll be like, all right, we're going to need a little bit more from you, my guy.
Calm down, Big Daddy. the movie, so that we get this, it starts off with the barrel exploding, and instantly they're sick.
Mm-hmm.
And then we meet the group of friends. They're fitting, what, six people in this big ass car? Yeah,
and this is the most
many people.
This is the most eclectic group of friends. And I said, quote, the punks look like they belong in a gang in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like, these punks look like what happens before they turn Bebop and Rocksteady into a rhino and a warthog.
That's true. That's definitely. And then there's like some. Like the one girl, like Freddy's girlfriend, seems like too goody two shoes to be in the group.
Tina?
Like
it's, yeah.
Yeah. Where it's like I buy it because they have such good chemistry and I like all the characters. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's why, you know, it's when they have to, like, why would the jock hang out with the bookworm, you know?
Yeah. You've got Tina, and who's like very much like, very clean cut. You also have Chuck and Casey, who are kind of like more less punk and more like that Pretty in Pink John Hughes aesthetic.
Yeah.
And then you have like Spider, Scuzz, Trash, and Suicide, who are just like, yeah, anarchy, yeah, yeah.
If there was like a, you have Spider, Scuzz, Trash, Magma,
Baloney Ring.
Yay, Jizz. What? Like, all those punk names back in the day. Like, if you just threw in a couple that aren't, you'd be like, I could totally buy that, you know?
Yeah, Spiders, Suicide, Scuzz, Jizz, Splooge, Gooch.
Splooge, Gooch, Taint.
Splooge, Gooch is actually hyphenated. They got married, actually.
Hey, good for them, man. I sent them a Brita filter.
Listen.
And with a Brita.
The Splooge, Gooch wedding was actually very nice. It's very tasteful.
Yeah, for the hyphenated Splooge, Gooch. Grundle, get over here.
These are all just taint names. but you know
why they call it the taint, right?
Why?
Well, you know why they call it the grundle, rather, because it taint your dick and it taint your asshole.
What? Say that again.
The saying is, you know why they call it the taint? Because it taint your dick and it taint your asshole. But I changed it to grundle. So it's a stupid version of that joke. I'm sorry.
Anyway, so we're following Grundle in the convertible, and they're just like driving around and like, I ain't got no fucking gas. And I was like, mm-hmm. You know what? He's right. That is still a problem that really afflicts punks today.
Mm-hmm.
Just not having that gas money because old Brandon won't turn the gas prices down.
Well, turn them down. Just you got a little switch.
Yeah, you got that gas lever.
That is like such a relatable thing, at least for teenagers. You got a car, but now you don't have any more money to do anything. So like driving around is just an activity, you know?
Yeah, and they want to go pick up Freddy, but it's like 7:30, and they're like, mm-hmm. Well, what time does he get off? They're like 10:00, and they're like, well, what are we gonna do now? We don't have money to do anything. I was like, well, let's drive around. He's like, I ain't got no gas.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just hang out in the cemetery for 2.5 hours.
That is something I also did as a kid. We played hide and go seek in a cemetery.
I think you mentioned this on one of the past episodes with like Phantasm or one of the.
Yeah.
Were you ever scared like playing in there?
No, but I was probably with somebody that was in the group. But if I was, I don't know if I'd be scared in a cemetery now, but definitely back in the day, if I was alone and I knew nobody else was there, I'd be scared. A cemetery is just kind of naturally a scary place.
Yeah, I did a 5K in a cemetery. I can't remember if I shared that before. They had a there's a cemetery in Evansville called Oak Hill Cemetery, and it was
Oak Hill, right?
Oak Hill. Yeah, Oak Hill.
Because it sounds like you said Oak Hill.
Oak Hill. The Oak Hill Cemetery. It's where my grandma's buried. Thanks for bringing her up.
Hey, tell her I said hey.
What the fuck?
What? She'll know.
Okay. Anyway, I ran a 5K in the cemetery, and let me tell you, by the time it was over, I was dead tired.
Woo! Look out! You could have put me 6 feet deep.
It was fun though. It was okay because when it started, it was still kind of light out, but by the end of it, it was like dark, and I was like, I want to get out of here now.
Oh, that might be fun. Like, I don't know. I think people get weird about, because you want to be respectful of the dead people, but also wouldn't you think they'd like to have a visit, like a visitor?
Yeah.
You know?
I think
my uncle would just, at funerals, just walk on people's headstones. I'm like, what are you doing, man?
Like, He's doing a soft shoe on it. He's just like, tippity-tap, yeah. Tippity-tap.
I piss on your grave.
There was like a road, and we ran on the road. It wasn't like we were running like on the gravestones. Be like, you got to keep up on the... Some of those mausoleums were hard to scale. It was a Spartan race, actually. We just had to scale all of those.
It was a tough mutter.
Like, but they didn't move the bodies.
Do you know how they dig a grave? Do they dig it by hand still?
I think they have a backhoe, don't they? I think they have a backhoe.
Or like are they driving on people's graves? Because I figured they would do that if it was like a new grave, but if like they're burying somebody in between people.
That's a good point. I would assume that you'd have to probably buy, I don't know. If any of you
some kind of machine or something, if any of you we should have a mortician on or something.
Be like, how do they do it? We could have the Undertaker on.
Yeah, I was going to say Paul Bearer, but that's not going to happen.
Aww, Undertaker! I do wonder if they do it. I never see them digging the graves, because when you're at a funeral, like, ideally, they're done digging.
Yeah. Hey, hold on, folks, just a minute.
I'll be out of your hair in a second.
Got a little late start this morning.
My kids, you know, couldn't find my goddamn shoes.
You know, they hide the keys anywhere nowadays.
Just, you guys can go on, though. Don't mind me. Just like, chunk, chunk.
I think I hit a pipe down there. You might want to stand back.
Is that gas?
Does anybody else smell gas? Just the worst, caretaker in the world.
Somebody just, I'm always afraid, like, when I die and I have a funeral, like, are they gonna be mowing at the same time?
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, well, we gotta get it done. Like, we can't.
Hey, well, you know, people pay rent around here.
You know how it is. But
you know how much it cost when we got my brother buried? Thanks for bringing him up. You know how much it cost for that grave?
How much was it?
Just, you know, slightly bigger than the casket was $2,000.
Just to dig a hole?
I mean, to be buried there, and I assume that's the upkeep forever, but
yeah,
I thought it was going to be more just because it was so expensive for everything, but I'm sure if we, like, did a little searching around, found a deal, but it's not really, listen, you know, when you're grieving.
You're like, listen, I want to get the best price, which is why my brother's buried at the Dollar General, actually. That's why it's always so messy. Field. You know, if you get buried at the Dollar General, though, they will not be done by the time you get there. They'll be like, oh, shit, man, we got to stock some paper towels first.
Yeah, but we got Red Bull over there if you want to check that out. We'll be done in a minute. But they're hanging out in the cemetery, which is exactly what I would expect a group of punks to be doing.
Yeah, and not only hanging out, but immediately Trash, played by Linnea Quigley. She gets the most naked and stays that way for most of the movie.
You know, at the end of the season, we always do best nudity.
Mm-hmm.
And I might just call it now.
Yeah. This is
because
this is a bonus episode like in between seasons, but it'll probably be included in season 5's awards. We just finished up season 4. But it's going to be hard pressed to find some better nudity than this, because it is sexy, it's very attractive, and it is just ever present.
Yeah, the whole movie, she's just kind of naked.
She's just
naked. Even when she turns into a zombie.
Yeah, she's just always naked, man. And there was a controversy I was reading in the trivia. Did you read about the Bushgate?
Yeah, that she had too much bush, yeah. Or too little bush?
She had too much bush, and they're like, my God, you can't show that much bush. And then they had her shave. And then they're like, oh, my God, now you can see everything. Now it's too much. It's too much going on.
So there's some shots in this where you're like, that's there. It's there, you know.
Well, her downstairs lady parts look a little weird, though, because they did give her like a flesh-colored G-string that like kind of tucked things in, which gives her like that Barbie look, because they couldn't just have her just like out and about flapping in the breeze.
I mean, I guess, but why? We're already thinking it's worth thinking it's there.
But I think to get like an R rated or whatever, like you can't show like certain parts. Like you can show penis and stuff, but you can't show an erect penis. Unless you're Euphoria on HBO. I don't know how they get away with making basically just pornography.
Well, HBO's its own thing.
Yeah, it's its own thing. Well, this is a movie. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that is true. But so you never actually see anything. You think you see a lot, but you'd still see a lot.
If they don't show it to you, it's in your brain and you're still seeing it. And we get the scene when she's dancing on top of the I don't know what it was, it's like an altar looking thing, but it's for the grave. And great soundtrack. Tonight we're gonna make love till we die.
Would you,
just throughout the whole movie, great soundtrack.
Would you want somebody to dance on you naked in the cemetery when you're dead?
I'm dead, man. Do whatever you want. Dig me up. Dance me around.
Last dance with Mary Jane.
One more time to kill them. I just think it doesn't matter. I'm dead. So do whatever you want, man.
Ooh, okay. That sounds like permission. I'm going to snip that piece. Be like, he said I could do whatever I wanted. I said you could.
Put me on your porch for Halloween.
And then leave me out all year long and let me rot like the jack-o'-lantern on the porch.
I want you to, you know, people have those big skeletons and they just dress them up for different seasons now. Mm-hmm. I want you to dress up my corpse. So for 4th of July, I want to be dressed like Uncle Sam.
Yeah, but not Uncle Sam from America, just like somebody's Uncle Sam.
Yeah, you know, Uncle Sam from Spider-Man when he got killed on account of Peter Parker said, I don't see how that's my problem. And then the wrestler escapes and kills Uncle Sam. You know that Uncle Sam's rice?
I know you keep, you keep saying it, and you know it just upsets me as a Spider fan. Like, you know it's not Uncle Sam. You know it's not Uncle Sam.
It is Uncle Sam.
It's Uncle Ben.
Nah, I never heard of her.
We lost Uncle Ben when we lost Aunt Jemima on the syrup. when they came for Mrs. Butterworth, I couldn't stop them.
Go woke.
My damn woke syrup. But you do have like a lot of dancing in the cemetery, and that's a good way to kill some time. And everybody was like really into it too. Like, Susan was like, trash is getting naked. And then she's just naked except for leg warmers. She does wear her leg warmers, so she's not a complete whore.
It's important, you know, around 4th of July, it's freezing in Louisville, Kentucky.
Is this where it's at in Louisville?
Yeah, because we should mention that simultaneously when the gas spills out, it goes up into the chimney or whatever, and now it's going to start raining. Mm-hmm. That's how we get the dead to rise up. And in that first 10 minutes, we meet that military guy in his mansion.
Yeah.
And we find out along the way that some of that toxin was delivered to their medical supply thing, and it's down in the basement.
Yes.
So he'll come into play a little later in the movie.
Yeah, basically the end, because I forgot about him until like the very end.
Because I think I was thinking they introduced him at the very end to drop the bomb.
Yes.
But I think if they didn't introduce him at the beginning, it would be a lame ending. Now we got a new guy,
yeah,
you know, coming in to drop this bomb.
Mm-hmm. You do have a lot of funny things, though, where the gas gets out and one of the corpses in the ice box becomes alive, and you've got Frank, Bert, and Freddy all sitting around like, well, what are we going to do? And they're like, well, we got to destroy the brain. We got to destroy the brain. Mm-hmm. And they open the thing, and out pops the most yellow naked man that could be. Mm-hmm. No dong, though. It's all shot very tastefully. But that is a scary scene for me, just having most reanimated corpses are wearing something, but having a reanimated corpse who doesn't know why they're there, is hungry for brains, and is also naked, it's terrifying.
And he's yellow.
He's yellow. Mm-hmm.
You know, Biff Tannen would have called him yellow.
And then shot him in the street.
Like the dog he is. Mm-hmm.
But it is.
And then some old man and a young kid comes snooping around, asking him about the the sports almanac.
But what did you think of that scene? Just having a wild, crazy, yellow, naked man.
Pretty, because I used to, I was watching this, I'm like thinking the movie is not really scary, but there are definitely scary parts in it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is that because we get fast zombies. They're not lumbering, slow zombies. And that's always been scary to me, is that fast zombie, because the slow ones, I'd have a chance at least.
Yeah.
The fast ones, we'd all be dead.
Oh, for sure. And this is like one of the first instances of fast zombies.
I was kind of reading that, and it's one of the first instances of the fast zombie, and also the brains. I think that originated on this.
Okay.
Because now it's synonymous that, you know, the joke, what's a vegetarian zombie eat? Grains.
That's a good,
like,
solid
that's
joke.
Kind of like a zombie cliche that they go after brains.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And then they actually, and the zombies just talk. They say things.
Yep.
More than moan. They say sentences like, send more paramedics, send more cops.
They're not rigor mortis. They're articulate with their hands, and
yeah,
they you know.
Got, yeah. It's very genre breaking, genre defining. For me, the first time I saw Fast Zombies was probably 28 Days Later.
Mm-hmm.
And those aren't actually zombies. They're actually rage. They're actually rage infected by a monkey disease. So I'm just saying. But
Well, actually,
they're not actually undead. They're actually just very alive, but rage infected. But so that was the first time I saw it. But you're like, oh no, 20 years earlier, they were doing it in this.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, they got to cut the guy's head off, and you get a brief thing of like, it's a dummy. And, you know,
yeah. Well,
I love a dummy, whether it's Dawn or Evil Dead or the Night of the Living Dead remake,
okay.
Or this.
You do have the scene where, well, before they cut the head off, they brain it with an axe. They're like, well, we just got to destroy the brain in Night of the Living mm-hmm. Dead. You destroy the brain and they'll go away. But in this, they're like, oh, well, we've destroyed the brain now, and they're still coming at us. Now,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, they don't stop.
The years stop coming and they don't start coming. And they
hit the ground running.
And just the way they like brain it with the axe, I don't know even if they were undead, because he really takes a big old swing at it.
And I do like that it's the character of, what is it, Bert,
mm-hmm.
played by Klug, is it Gulager? I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's like, we're going to brain him. I like when anybody uses the term brain.
Yeah.
Like he's a Three Stooge.
I also,
we're going to brain him.
I also wrote brain it with an axe. So I was like, because it's one of those phrases that you like perk up. You're like, that's a weird one.
It's funny. Yeah.
It is funny. And so they do cut the head off. And what's crazy, there's no blood because they've already drained the blood. And it's like a medical cadaver, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But just like the gooey whiteness inside is really, really gross.
Yeah, it's not natural. It's unsettling a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It's very upsetting, very unsettling. And it still doesn't die, so then they have to, like, vivisect and, like, cut it up all over the place.
Mm-hmm. And that now they have a bunch of rabid weasels.
Yeah.
In these bags. But can we say, I'm going to tell you my favorite character from this movie is Frank.
Mm-hmm.
It's Freddy's buddy. And just because his overacting is like, oh, like he like half cries throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
And it's so over the top that it's almost bad, but since it's a comedy, it's so fucking funny to
me. It's so funny. And like the what's in the bag, the rabid weasels, you also have like that thing with the split dog. The split dog back and it's like barking and they have to like hit it with like the, and like this is really good slapstick comedy.
You had to brain him.
You gotta brain it. And you have the, well, what's in it? Rabid weasels. Oh, well, let's take it out back. And then they meet Ernie, who's like the embalmer, the undertaker, I guess.
I think, yeah, embalmer, undertaker.
The mortician, I guess is the word I'm
looking. Mortician.
Yes. I was like, the mortuary assistant, that scary video game.
Which there's a fan theory that Ernie is a Nazi. Because he's listening to headphones, he's listening to German music. Behind him on the wall is a poster for Nazi stuff. He has a German, I think it's German Luger, the gun. And there's a theory that if he's not a Nazi, he's very interested in German shit.
Okay.
Which is Scheiser, by the way.
So
Scheiser.
And I read that as well, that he could be a Nazi, but he immediately is like, well, I'll shoot these weasels. And he's like, well, actually, no. He's like, well, why not? Let's just shoot these weasels. I just love anytime you use rabid weasels in a serious manner.
Is that a thing from something else?
Not really. I think
just it's rabid weasels.
I think there is maybe a rabid weasels reference in a Weird Al Yankovic song called Albuquerque.
Okay.
I think he references rabid weasels in that. That's a very, very niche reference I'm making right now. So if you appreciate it, fantastic. If not, I get it.
But like, so it's always weird to me. It's like, why couldn't they just keep the bags downstairs next to the other equipment?
Yeah.
Like they didn't even have to burn it. They could have just kept it down there.
Yeah, because Ernie's like, well, yeah, I have this giant furnace now and it'll burn everything. So let's go ahead and burn this body. And they're like, yeah, that sounds great. It'll burn everything. And then they send what I like to call the Pope smoke into the air to let us know that this funeral home has elected a new Pope. And now it's raining down acid that's making the dead rise.
And yeah, we get the other that's raining down and it's starting to burn all the teenagers in the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And Linnea Quigley still just nude.
Still just naked. I like the line when they're like, when they're getting in the car, they have to put the hard top up themselves, or the soft top. And then they're like, roll the windows up. He's like, I don't have any windows. I busted them out. Which is
just
so punk.
Trash. And I don't mean Linnea Quigley. They're just trash people.
Which is so punk to me. Just like, I smashed out all the windows myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we get some fun rising from the grave. Because very rarely in a movie, especially a zombie movie, do we get to see them rising up from the grave, even though that's a quintessential thing of them rising up in front of the tombstone.
Yeah, but everything in like Night of the Living Dead or Dawn of the Dead, they're already just like people who are alive that are bitten that become zombies. Nobody really like rises from the grave. But that's the main difference of this is, yeah, you do see them rise up and they have really good effect. They have really good puppetry. And muddy practical effects. That for me is what got me, is just the muddiness of it and just like Linnea Quigley in mud. I was like, oh God, it's just so, I know you're naked, but I'm not a mud person. We've established. I'm a princess.
I hate to be dirty. Nope.
Yeah. I don't like being dirty. My friends do like tough mudders like we joked about or Spartan races. And that is just like running a long distance and also getting muddy and climbing over stuff. And none of that appeals to me.
No, none of it. And it's like that chemical, we actually get a reason for the zombies. Most zombie movies, it's just there are zombies. You don't have to ask how it happened because it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
But we had the 2,4,5 trioxin, which was a chemical developed by Darrow Chemical Company. And it was kind of a play on Agent Orange from the 60s, and that was called 2,4,5-T-dioxin.
That is a fun little fact. I did not know that.
Trioxin sounds like, do you have lumpy stool? Do you have difficulty going? Try trioxin.
I like the way you
and then he's swinging on a tire swing.
I like the way you went with lumpy stool. Like what? What is the consistency it should be?
Well, you know, you just talk about what you know. So.
Do you like knowing where the zombies come from, or does it matter to you?
I think if it was just a regular, like, straight zombie movie and not a comedy, then I'd probably not want to know. But since it's a comedy movie, nothing really matters. You know, it's played for jokes, even mm-hmm. though there are no jokes in the movie.
Yes. For me, it doesn't bother me. I didn't really pay that much attention. I knew it was like a chemical, but you are just like trioxin. Yeah. So you really locked it down on that one.
Hey, you know, when you did your research like a professional.
I'm a goddamn fucking professional, okay, Mr. Pink over here from Reservoir Dogs. I see how it is.
Hey, I'm sorry.
I thought I was a professional. No first names. I think that it's I like that we learned about it. It does make sense, and it does get the movie going in a very fast. It's a very fast paced movie. It's only 90 minutes, and it moves from the get go. You got comedy, you've got scares, you've got the zombies, and you also have let's talk about the Tar Man. An underrated horror. I don't want to say. Would you call him a horror icon?
I mean, maybe if you got to pick one from this movie, it would be because he's kind of the figures. Mm-hmm. If they make toys and stuff for it, he's the guy. Which
I wish they would make the more. Yeah,
yeah. I don't remember. It was played by the same guy in most of the scenes, I think, but moves really well. Comment kind of drunk, stumbly.
Mm-hmm.
I like the character. He's brains. Like, he's scary, and they also brain him.
Yeah. Do you have any Tar Man merchandise?
I have it's right over here. I have a zombie shelf, and it's the a Mock Time, AMOK figure. But they just did like it's called a 1/6 for people that don't know toys or figures. It'd be like a 12-inch figure.
Yeah.
And I just haven't bought that because it's not. It's not my character that I really gravitate towards, even though this is one of my favorite horror movies.
Understandable, because, yeah, you got to be, well, sometimes when you're doing collectibles, it's space issues, and also...
Space and money, you know?
Space and money, yeah. those 1/6 scale figures can get very expensive. So, yeah, so I totally understand that. Tar Man's great, though. If they made, like, a real Funko Pop of him, I'd totally pick up a Funko Pop of the Tar Man. And whenever you see, like, Return of the Living Dead, like, merchandise and shirts, he's always on it front and center.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cool design. They had a Tar Man mock-up when I went to the Tom Devlin's Monster Museum out in Boulder, Colorado. Mm-hmm. They had, like, a cool Tar Man mock-up coming out of, like, the barrel, which was super cool. So it's nice to see people, like, when they're doing shirts and merchandise, to appreciate the Tar Man. Because, honestly, there's not a lot of... iconic zombies. There's not a lot of, like, where we can be like, oh, well, you got maybe plaid shirt zombie, Harry Krishna zombie from Dawn of the Dead, Bub from Day of the Dead, but then it kind of just like falls off.
Well, and the stuff that I was reading about this movie is what they called principal zombies. So you have the Tar Man, you have Tom Matthews, who turns into "Let me eat your brains, darling,"
mm-hmm.
and Trash. So you have. And then later in that article or the facts sheet or whatever I was looking at, you have Big Daddy, like from Land of the Dead. You have some identifiable zombies as opposed to the naked zombie from Night of the Living Dead.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't like a key. You have the cemetery ghoul who chases her at the beginning, but you don't have like a zombie as a character. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's hard to do unless you're going to make them talk or... have some sort of like
give them a personality
or have an arc of some sort. Like Big mm-hmm. Daddy in Land of the Dead, he, as much as we tease the actor for doing cons and stuff, he does have an arc where he's like the one zombie who like learns how to use a gun and like mm-hmm. communicate and organize. So you have those principal zombies, but yeah, not a lot of these though. You're like, well, it's just a zombie that happens to look different enough.
Yeah, and I have Big Daddy over my shoulder too. I have that character. That I found for cheap, but it's very much like Iron Maiden was one of my favorite bands. Do you know the Iron Maiden mascot? Do you know what his name is?
Is it Eddie the Skeleton?
It's Eddie. So that's like that. I don't know that he's a zombie per se, but it's like an identifiable thing that's across all the albums, and he kind of changes his look. It's the mascot, which I think it'd always be fun to like have like a Walking Dead series. And there'd always be, quote-unquote, the Eddie character that as the scene ends, the big zombie battle ends, you kind of see him still stumbling around. Mm. Just kind of like a thing. It'd be a fun Where's Waldo for a zombie show to be like, I found Eddie. He was next to the whatever.
Yeah.
I think that would be a fun thing in a zombie show.
I think that would be cool. And sometimes they hide like little Easter eggs in zombie stuff like that. But yeah, to have like mm-hmm. one core zombie to go through, I think that'd be cool. Now, I do have to ask, because I did a video on Gavin Loves Horror where I kind of... I basically shit on Super 7 reaction figures for mm-hmm. like being expensive and not that much toy or whatever. And I got into an argument over Eddie because I said Eddie the skeleton and somebody said Eddie the zombie. And we got into an argument and I was like, I think he's a skeleton, right? Like, is he a zombie or is he a skeleton?
I don't know, as an Iron Maiden fan.
Because I've seen it both ways.
I'll give it a Google, but I never really thought about it. To me, he's like a... One album, he's a pharaoh, and the next, he's a like a World War II fighting ace, you know?
Yeah, when I Google it, it just says Eddie the Head. They call him Eddie the Head, and so maybe we're all wrong. And then Wikipedia just says, you know what I just found out?
What?
Eddie has the same birthday as I do.
Oh, shit. Happy birthday to you and Eddie.
Yeah. So, yeah, February 8th. So that is pretty fun. Crazy.
That dead thing has the same birthday as you.
Yeah. So let's talk about our favorite Iron Maiden albums now and just vibe out.
We could talk about Power Slave if you want to.
But this is a... Going back to this, it's a very fun movie, and I do like the fact that you've got Frank... and Freddie turning and just being mm-hmm. very much like the paramedics being like, they have no pulse, they have no heartbeat, there's rigor mortis, and they're like,
what?
They're yeah. like, what's my temperature? And they're like, 70 degrees. Like, is that bad? That's room temperature.
And I like that Bert is, after they burn the rabid weasels,
mm-hmm.
they're sitting on that bench, and he's like, I'll be right there, just give me a minute, I gotta catch my breath. And he's like, what's the matter? And Frank and Freddie are like, we're sick. And Bert's like, sick how? I'm like, motherfucker, they're gray and they're sweating. Like, clearly there's something wrong with these guys.
Yeah, it's very funny when there's like, what are you sick with? Oh, no, this. Yeah. And then this is when the movie becomes kind of like, this is like the descent where a lot of stuff just starts happening. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to like keep track because you've got... them sending the paramedics because there's people dying and getting eaten and stuff. You have the great line where the zombie goes, send more paramedics so mm-hmm. they can eat them. They send the cops so that the cops come and they get eaten, like,
send more cops.
And those are funny lines. It's very funny that they're just like sending all of these people to basically be eaten by the zombies. And also, we had a hard time picking kills for this because there's no, like, big standout kills.
No. It kind of happens quickly. People get devoured, you know? Like, nothing really I guess you could count, like, Freddy and Frank as a kill, mm-hmm. like an extended long kill. Because in most zombie things, it's like... somebody's bitten, and either you know they're bitten or they reveal it later.
when it's too late.
It's they always look like Mitch McConnell. Sweating.
Listen, what are you accusing me of?
Well, you're really sweaty, and there are zombies around, and you're wincing in pain. That's a zombie trope, is like the guy who hides the bite until it's too late, you know?
Oh, yeah. They're like, why did you tell anybody? Because you're going to kill me. Ribbit.
Because I'm selfish.
And I'm going to tax the poor even more now. Ribbit.
I'm going to outlaw interracial marriage, even though I'm in an interracial marriage.
But now that I'm dead, I'm free of it.
And could you imagine if he went to, if Mitch McConnell would go to bite Miguel Nunez, but he was like, oh, he's black. I'm not going to bite him. He's racist even as a zombie.
And then he'd be like, but I taste like enchiladas.
The damn enchiladas.
The damn enchiladas. Oh, my God. They actually...
Sorry, we went woke for a minute.
Sorry. Yeah, we... Listen. I don't eat American food, French fries, freedom fries, hamburgers. I don't eat no enchiladas.
If there's one thing a racist loves, it's a fucking Mexican restaurant.
That is true. You go to a Mexican restaurant and you're like, these are the most racist people. And they're talking shit about the people working here just trying to make a living. But they're like, more chips and salsa, please.
Yeah. Why is your cheese white? That ain't cheese.
What's queso?
Queso. And throughout the whole movie, we get those zombies breaking into the funeral home, and that's to me like the scariest part of zombie movies. You get it in The Night of the Living Dead, but you get the hands through the window. Like it's just kind of what a great visual.
You got the hordes.
Mm-hmm. And that like I was watching this last night, I was like, this is a video game.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go board up the things and you got to go talk to the zombie on the table, which we'll talk about, but it's, you got little tasks. And they pull a zombie through the window, and it's like a lady from the spinal cord up, and they strap her to the examination table, and she starts talking. And you'll appreciate this, because I had to Google it to make sure it wasn't the same voice actor that does Frieza from Dragon Ball Z.
Kakarot? Yeah.
The pain.
The pain I brought. That's creepy. That scene is very creepy and unsettling.
With the spine still like moving around like a tail?
I don't think I can move my spine like that now. And they're just like whipping it around, whipping it nay-nay.
I whip my spine back and forth. And you get some zombie titties. Sorry, Linnea Quigley.
Uh-oh.
Move over.
We've seen enough live titty. Now it's time for some puppet titty.
Rot. But it's what a weird reason to, because she's like, brains. And then he's like, why do you eat the brains? Because it makes the pain of being dead go away. That's a nothing answer. That's like a bullshit thing. But I still like it, because if that were a serious movie, I'd be like, this movie's bullshit. But since it's a horror comedy, I like that line better for some reason.
Oh, for sure. It's good puppeteering. It's really good.
Oh, yeah.
The effects on this movie are really good. Like I said, like the puppeteering and the practical effects, there's no CGI. It's just good old-fashioned makeup and blood.
Yeah, dude. And that's just a creepy, just to see the half-zombie just wailing in pain.
Yeah, and just, you can't kill it. You can't really do anything with it. You just got to be like, well, all right.
And one of my favorite lines is she's wailing and Miguel Nunez Spider's like, I'm a bust in the damn head. It's so funny.
Miguel Nunez, why is he not in everything? Why is he not in more?
He's a Juana man, isn't he?
Is he? I've never seen Juana man.
Do you know how old he is? Somebody posted a meme.
He is.
And
let me see. He's
so much older than you think he would be.
He's like in his 60s. Yeah, because he was born in 1958, so he is, he's like almost 70.
He doesn't look it at all.
No.
Yeah, he's 58. He's 58, is what it says.
Okay.
But still,
yeah,
for a guy, like, you know, they say Juana man don't crack is what they say, right?
and he still gets, he does still get a lot of work. He's in a lot of stuff still. He was in, like, the Scooby-Doo movie. He was in The Family Business, a TV series. He was on Nashville. So he still gets work. A lot of these horror actors from the 80s just don't do a lot of stuff, but he still does.
Yeah, Linnea Quigley still does stuff. Tom Matthews is still in stuff. And they sometimes come back to the horror genre, which I can appreciate because I like them as actors.
But let's go ahead and get to the end of this here. You've got Tom Matthews, who finally dies and becomes like fully evil, and he tries to eat. He tries to eat Tina.
Tina.
Yeah.
It's not an 80s movie unless you have a lady named Tina.
Yeah. Sometimes with psychic powers, sometimes without psychic powers, or seeing people in her dreams.
They move him and Frank to the little chapel, and she says, "I'm going to stay," and then I can finally see. And he's like, I'm going to eat your brains, darling. That's kind of scary, too, because it's like, that way he's like, it's just, he's essentially saying it's better over here. It's like when somebody gets bitten by a vampire and they finally air quotes see, like, it's much better over here. Join us. We saw it in The Faculty.
Join us,
I
Michael.
I can see clear now.
Fly with
you
us,
know,
Michael.
The rain's gone. Yeah.
The rain is gone.
The rain is gone.
I get it.
But they blind him with that acid, and that's even scarier because now he's just like a bull in a china shop, just destroying everything to get to her brains.
Oh yeah, and they crawl up in the attic and they're just like barricading and just trying to hide and keep themselves safe from it. Frank goes the honorable route.
What isn't it crazy that the Nazi's hiding in the attic? That's I just thought of that.
Isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
Don't you think?
But Frank does the honorable thing. Frank, not Anne Frank. Regular Frank. He transitions.
I'm glad you clarified that.
And then, would you believe it, Anne Frank is in this movie.
What? We said a lot of shit happens in this movie.
I know, but there's the miracle workers there, Helen Keller, Charlie Brown, basically anybody. The mom and adult from Charlie Brown. But Frank takes off his wedding ring and actually throws himself into the crematory oven.
Yeah.
And you talked about how much it was cost to bury your brother. There's a sign in our city that's like advertising for like cheap cremations. It's like still like $1,300 to like set yourself on fire.
There's a funeral home that's in Indianapolis that used to be an old Aldi grocery store. And it's now called, it's a chain, I've seen it across the country, called Newcomer Funeral Home, which seems like the craziest name for a, I assume the first time you're there for your funeral is the last time and the first time. But they say that you can get a basic cremation for $900. It's expensive to die.
Yeah. And but to also to get that cremation, you have to pay a quarter to get the cart to drag the body in. So.
That's it. And if you have $900 without the quarter, you're kind of shit out of luck.
Yeah, you got to carry that body in or bring your own bags. It's
you got to bring your own urn because they'll charge you at the door. We're doing all these jokes.
All these jokes are funny though, aren't they?
All these nuts.
Let's land this fucking plane. you got Frank who sets it on fire. And actually, he did that. He was supposed to go outside in the rain and be with the Horde, but the actor didn't want to be in the rain and the heat and all the makeup. So he pitched the idea of like putting himself in the into the oven and like taking off his wedding ring and like praying or whatever. So, I mean, it's a good ending for him.
Yeah, it's a good moment in the movie, I think.
Yeah.
Good song playing there. I don't remember what it was, but I remember watching like good punk song that kind of fits the moment. Bert, whatever his name is.
Yeah. Bert decides.
They get over to the medical supply thing and they call the number on the side and it goes to Mr. Military Man.
Yeah.
And we find out what his job is to bomb the city wherever those barrels ended up.
I like the way that he does ask, though. He's like, why didn't you call sooner? And he's like, okay, yeah, yeah.
I can see it,
yeah.
Yes.
Makes sense. And then just very casually calls in, like, it's the middle of the night, and he just, like, calls in a missile strike.
Mm-hmm.
So casually.
Just doesn't give a fuck. Less than 4,000 lost, sir.
What an ending, though. What an ending for that to have, where they just... Because they did this in one of the Resident Evil games where they just like nuke Raccoon City, and it's like at some point that's all you can do is if it gets too big you just have to like blow up the whole city essentially.
And even then it didn't work.
Yeah,
because it's gonna rain.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get the guy. He calls it in nonchalantly, not giving one single fuck about these people. And that's how it ends. And again, if this movie were a straight zombie movie without the comedy, I would be like, what a cop out.
Yeah.
What bullshit. But since it's a comedy, I love it because there's no hope for anybody. Nobody gets out.
One of my favorite jokes I don't know if it even is an intentional joke or what it is, but at the end when he's reading off the codes to the guy who is going to shoot the missile at the city.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. He says the phonetic alphabet or whatever. It's like Alpha, Bravo, Charlie.
Niner, Fiver.
Yeah. But he says like hot dog and rhubarb. And I was like, yeah. What? That's not, because I have to use that sometime in IT to like be like A is an alpha, B is in Bravo or whatever. But he's like H is a, he's like hot dog. Rhubarb, and I was like, what? I'm gonna start doing that now. Be like, H is in hot dog,
J is in jalapeno, K is in night,
C is in crab rangoon.
Also, we need to talk about Linnea Quigley does turn into the zombie, and she gets the full treatment of painted. Her character looks cool, and both times when she bites into somebody, I think it's like some kind of prosthetic mouth where it just looks huge.
Yeah.
When she bites those people. Mm-hmm. Just looks really cool.
Yeah, and she's still naked as a zombie as well. And can she still get it?
I'd risk it.
For that biscuit.
Yeah, I'd wear a condom and some BMX, like those, that plastic shit they wear on the X Games.
I like the way your entire body is like plastic protective gear, and then just your dick is in some latex. And you're like, you know what? We got to feel something, baby. Be like,
That's a good way to get your dick bit off. To put it around a zombie.
Yeah. Overall, though, this is a really fun movie. I really enjoyed it.
It's fun. This is one of my favorite horror movies because I have memories tied to it. And it's weird. There's a part of Indianapolis that I like because there's a cemetery, and then right by the cemetery is like the industrial part where they would have like that medical supply thing.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I drive through there, it always reminds me of this movie because it's just kind of the perfect storm of cemetery with like industrial part of town.
So you're like, so, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen finally?
I bet it will. If it doesn't, I'll make it happen. But yeah, I think this movie is so fun. It's one of my favorites, and I'll keep rewatching it till the day I hit that crematorium.
Till the day you hit that crematorium for $900.
Mm-hmm. I've been saving up.
What is your favorite kill from this? Because it's hard to pick.
Like we said, is there's not really like kills in this movie, so I'll just say Frank putting himself in the incinerator.
And I'm gonna go with suicide, getting his head bit off. I think that's a pretty good kill. And what was your oh shit moment?
Oh shit moment. We had maybe runner up the zombie strapped to the table.
Mm-hmm.
The pain. But a moment that got me and my brother back in the day. As soon as we saw it, we couldn't not laugh. And I don't know, in hindsight, I'm like, I don't know why we laughed, because it was one thing, or it's because of the surprise of the type of zombie, but it's the little person zombie behind the ambulance door.
Oh.
When he shuts the door and the zombie's like, ah, and starts running. But it's like, they obviously got an amputee to play this zombie.
Mm-hmm.
And it made us laugh so hard, because what a surprise that all these zombies are up and walking around and running. And then there's like an amputee zombie.
Mm-hmm.
And it just... I don't know why it hit us so... It was such a surprise to see that zombie in this movie.
Yeah. For me, my oh shit moment is the naked guy busting out of the door. And just,
okay.
Because it's so yellow. It's so naked. It's so weird looking and just so aggressive. And it's just... I don't know how I'd handle that. I don't know how I'd fight it off or what I would do.
If you liked Return of the Living Dead, what else should people watch?
I think the easy one is going to be Shaun of the Dead. I think Shaun of the Dead is the easiest pick to suggest if you like horror mm-hmm. zombie comedies. If you like more straight zombie movies, probably I think 2004's Dawn of the Dead remake by Zack Snyder is actually very, very funny. It has that comedy in it as well. And then let's go Cabin in the Woods.
Yep, Cabin in the Woods. Zombieland would be another one,
mm-hmm.
I'd say. Also, let me find my stuff. Shaun of the Dead, Friday the 13th, Part 5 is not necessarily comedy, but it is.
It is. Oh, and I can't wait till we eventually do that one, because that's like the fun Friday the 13th, like kind of riff on.
Yeah, it's fun. It's got Tom Matthews. And if you like Tom Matthews, this, you know, somewhat of a spoiler, watch Never Hike Alone.
Well, Tom Matthews is in Friday the 13th Part 6.
Yeah, but I'm just saying from the comedy aspect.
Oh, yeah, Friday the 13th Part 6.
Friday 5, yeah.
Yes. But yeah, I think that those are all really good. If you like seeing, if you want to see Nunez Jr., Miguel Nunez Jr. be like, enchiladas, Friday 5. Friday 5,
and
baby.
Singing his girlfriend singing to him while he's in an outhouse.
Yeah.
Ooh, baby.
It's the best. It's the absolute best.
Has your girlfriend ever talked to you while you're taking a shit? Just singing and you got to sing back?
No, I know some couples like have that closeness where they're like, I poop with the door open. I can poop while they're in the shower. It's like, I never want to be that close to another human being.
No, I don't. Especially if there's smells involved. I don't need that.
Yeah, I don't need that in my life. So I never want to be that close to anybody. But as always, if you'd like to be a Patreon subscriber to us, please consider subscribing on Patreon, patreon.com/theycomingtogetyou. We have 3 tiers. Each tier gives you something real fun. Well, the other 2 tiers do. $2. The first tier just gives us money because you like us. But the other 2 tiers gives you bonus episodes and let you vote on episodes that we cover. And we appreciate all of our Patreon subscribers. We got another good Patreon bonus episode coming up here very soon that I may already be up by the time this airs. About the scariest non-movie, or the scariest scenes in non-horror movies, which is good. And because we like you so much, and we're like, we're going to take a little break between seasons, and then we're like, we should probably do some episodes, because like July 3rd and then July 4th, so maybe come back tomorrow and celebrate Independence Day with us.
And we won't say what movie it is, but we'll see.
But happy Independence Day.
They're coming to get you.
Barbara!
They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.